You're listening to Midnight Harmony. I'm E.W. Helmick. Midnight Harmony is a partner of the Ministry Help World Tour and is made possible by your donation and support. Help World Tour is a global ministry that helps people make Jesus a part of their story. You can find more information about tent revivals, ministries around the world, and their motion picture, Take Your Dream, on their website, www.helpwt.com. Arabella Catherine Henke was born on January 12, 1834. She was the daughter of a prosperous banker in London. Her family were devout Anglicans and members of the Clapham sect, reformists and abolitionists who called for the liberation of slaves, abolition of the slave trade, and the reform of the penal system, and recognized and advocated other cornerstone civil political rights and defying the status quo of labor exploitation and consequent vested interests in the legislature, was laborious and was motivated by their Christian faith and concern for social justice and fairness for all human beings. The Clapham sect's most famous member was William Wilberforce. As a young woman, Catherine Henke was inspired by the Methodist revival of John Wesley and organized and taught in Sunday schools in London. Her fervor for things of the Lord inspired her to write and publish poems and gospel tracts, which she handed out to her classes. Her writings, characterized with a poetic impression, were unpopular and not fit for a chorale, as the singing of hymns was unpopular when Catherine was a young woman. They were not officially sanctioned as an integral part of Anglican orders of service. Therefore, any utterance of heavenly stanzas was reserved for the priests' morning and evening canticles. Catherine, however, passionate about her faith and supportive of foreign missions, eventually turned her own interest to mission work and joined her brother as a nurse in South Africa. At the age of 32, Catherine contracted a serious illness and was bedridden for what would be a very long convalescence. It was during this time Catherine wrote a poem titled, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story of Unseen Things Above." The poem was 100 verses and broken into two parts. The Story Wanted, written in January of 1866, and The Story Told, written in November of that same year. William Howard Doan was a manufacturer, inventor, hymn writer, choral director, church leader, and philanthropist. Though more than 70 patents are credited to him for innovations in woodworking machinery, he is probably best known for his composition of over 2,000 church hymns. In 1870, Doan composed music for the first part of Catherine's hymn, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story," and published it in his book, Songs of Devotion. Doan gave no indication of who the original author of the lyrics was, as he wrote, "Author anonymous." It was William G. Fisher, a professor of music at Girard College in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that wrote the tune to the second half of Catherine's poem. Fisher published the song in his own book, Joyful Songs, in 1869. Several years later, in 1871, a collection of Catherine's hymns was published in a book titled Heart to Heart, Hymns by the Author of the Old, Old Story. Catherine Hanke's The Story Wanted and The Story Told had become a masterpiece. Two enduring hymns stemmed from a passion for the things of heaven, the things of God. Catherine recovered from her illness and lived to the age of 77. She died May 9th, 1911, in London, England. Tell me the old, old story, and I love to tell the story, are only a brief glimpse into her life and her love for Jesus. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else would do. Any evangelist who has shared the love of Jesus with another person knows the satisfaction it brings, not for oneself, but for the person who hears the good news. I recall an evening in Albany, Australia, when my wife and I were speaking following a showing of our film, Take Your Dream. I had expressed the idea that God had a destiny for everyone's life, and that dreams and passion were a part of that destiny. A young girl approached me afterwards and asked, "Is it true? Can God give you this passion you speak of?" I said, "Yes, He can." The young girl asked, "How do I get that passion in my heart?" Moments later, she had given her life to Christ, and a glow and smile grew across her face. She won the treasure of Christ's love, but I won the satisfaction that quenches any longing. I observed God opening the doors of His kingdom to yet another soul. Proverbs 11:30 reminds us, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." I love to tell the story. More wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. Anyone who has ever hoped knows the pain that comes with broken dreams and hope deferred. Yet the story of Jesus is more wonderful than all the golden fancies, and the reason I tell it to you now. I recall standing on the street corner of the train station in Melbourne, Australia. A worn, sickly-looking young man leaned against the handrail outside a fancy hat store where my son and I had just exited. I noticed the man and stepped close to him. "Hello," I said, and introduced myself. It wasn't but just a few moments later I had conveyed God's love for him, and he in fact gave his life to Christ. Talk of golden fancies. His eyes turned from solemn dark and dimless to a bright blue sparkle. A smile crossed his face, and he was reborn with the knowledge God loved him and forgave him. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. Imagine, some have never heard. Some don't know the good news of Jesus. May those words ring through your heart tonight. I pray God will lay images of friends and family on your heart and mind. People who may have never heard of the good news, but will tomorrow, because you will tell them. Because the story 'tis pleasant to repeat, and each time you tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I met a man recently that said he was an early convert of pastor and evangelist Jerry Falwell. In fact, when Jerry was starting his own church in a rundown warehouse in 1956, he went door to door asking people to come to his church. Jerry stepped onto the porch of this man when he was a young boy and told him about the love of Jesus. The boy had a terrible upbringing and had never been told by anyone that he was loved. He said, "Who is this person that loves me?" Jerry said, "Jesus. Jesus loves you." This young boy gave his life to Christ there on his front porch 66 years ago. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. In these days of uncertainty, fear, and global anger and destruction, my wife and I often remind one another we know how the story ends. But many don't. Many people are going through life hungering and thirsting for something more. 1 Peter 1, 9 through 11 reminds us, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Did you know that not even the angels have what you and I have? Angels desire to look into the gift of salvation because it is a great mystery, an incredible act of mercy God has given to each one of us, but not to the angels. Imagine, when you get to heaven, you will be surrounded by angels who want to talk with you about your experience of conversion, the experience of Jesus' death on the cross and how that impacted your own life, your sin, your joy, your faith, your eternal hope. It is the old story that I have loved so long, and it cannot, it must not be silenced any longer. Tonight, as you listen to this beautiful hymn, reflect on the gift you have been given, the gift of eternal life. If you don't know God, if you don't know this story I speak of, then fear not. The story is yours for the taking. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. You can do it right now in the quietness and peacefulness of your own home. Perhaps you're driving as you are listening to this program. Perhaps your children are with you tonight. They too can utter this simple prayer. I confess Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead. I believe he hath saved me. I believe he loves me. If you just prayed that prayer, you were saved by the one and only true God, the God of heaven and earth, whose Son, Jesus Christ, died to set you free. It is that beautiful. It is why I love to tell the story. Get right with God tonight. His story, His love, your song. Good night.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It is my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy. Jesus, His love.